Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we start to slowly shift from international football back to the domestic stuff. John McGinn and Andy Robertson defend Scotland's tactics in light of the Spanish criticism. Malky Mackay is full of praise for the result and hopes Ross County can cause a similar shock against Celtic. And Stuart Kettlewell accepts Fashion Sakala's goal at Fir Park last week was onside. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, usually after an international break, Gordon, we're saying, oh, it's been a long time and we cannot wait for the league to restart. But I wish it went on a wee bit longer. We've had an absolute terrific time. Great win against Cyprus, followed by one of our best results ever, just as we were going off air on Tuesday night. It was fantastic. But we have big games round the corner, and I'm sure people's attention will be turning to them. Rangers at home to Dundee United, Motherwell away to Hibs, and then the Sunday game, Celtic against Ross County. Plenty of entertainment to come this weekend.
Yeah, I'm different. Quit while you're winning. It was a terrific two games for us. Let's move on. Let's get a rest. Let's take a deep breath. Let's concentrate on the domestic football. We've got a lot of exciting games at the weekend. Really looking forward to it. Still in a positive mood from 6 o'clock on Tuesday, especially after the result. So I'm looking forward to this weekend's fixture list.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So let's hear from you tonight, whether you do still have international football on your mind or you want to start that transition back to the domestic stuff. We are here for you, and we're very keen to hear from as many of you as possible. So 0141 951 1025. A note on the Scotland front: you don't get over a result like Tuesday in just one night. The phone lines were extremely busy last night, so if you didn't get through, you didn't get the chance to make your Scotland point, pick up the phone and let us know. I suppose there's also a realistic scenario where the dust has settled a bit, you've calmed down a little bit, you've come off the ceiling, you want to analyse it in the cold light of day with a bit more composure thrown into the mix. Or maybe you do still want to just, you know what, to Rodri, given his comments and the way the Spanish have taken this. Give us a call either way. 0141 951 1025. How does it set things up going forward? And if you do want to move back to the club stuff, then let's do that as well. As I mentioned in the headlines, Malky Mackay has got his Scotland hat on and he's delighted with the result, and then hopes Ross County can have a similar shock against Celtic on Sunday. VAR is never too far away. Stuart Kettlewell climbing down a bit from comments he made after Motherwell against Rangers a couple of weeks ago. So whatever you've got for us, 0141 951 1025. Get those calls in right now, nice and early. I say it every time these two are on because I mean it. The more you call, the less I need to deal with these two. So think of it as just being a kind gesture to me, if nothing else. Give us a call. 0141 951 1025. Has been quite the week though, Mark Wilson. I take your point. I mean, for years, international football brought about a headache here, because not only would the result go wrong invariably on the night, what that would then look like after would be the soul searching. Where are we going wrong? Do we need to bring Colts teams? Do we need to reduce the size of the cost of pitches? Do we need to ban PlayStations? You know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And by the way, some of that's still valid. But those nights have been getting fewer and fewer over the last few years, and really culminating in what we saw on Tuesday.
And the Scotland manager has to take great credit for that, because you're right, Gordon. I mean, growing up and even playing through it, quite normal after an international break, the criticism would be scathing. The fallout would be for days, and you're right, the net would be cast far and wide of where the problem was and where it lay. Or is it we haven't got enough indoor pitches, we need to build more centres around the place? That seems to have went to one side, and it will be continued to be pushed away. as long as we continue with results like this. Yeah. The result against Spain, right up there, Gordon, with the best that I've seen in my lifetime.
Oh, by the way, Gordon, a lot of that stuff's still valid. That's not to say it's not. I just mean it tends to come, you know, for another day when the business is getting done. It was more a reference to the doom and gloom that used to follow, because I totally get international football. Still, we could beat Spain, France, Italy and Brazil in the space of a week, and it still wouldn't float everyone's boat. That's absolutely fine. Each to their own. But it certainly just feels a lot better when there's a level of success being achieved.
Yeah, what I liked about it was we went into the game on Saturday favourites, and we won it, and a little bit of criticism in between certain parts of the game. We didn't play particularly well, but we still got three goals and a clean sheet. And then we went into a game on Tuesday night, and I just had a feeling, and I said it at 6 o'clock, I went early, that Scotland team are different. I think there's a good bond there. I think there's good players. I think they all know their jobs. I think that Steve Clarke's getting the best out of them. And the minute they get the first goal, I just seen the confidence grow in the squad and the players and everybody concerned. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. So they've turned a lot of negatives into a lot of positives.
Did he leave that as long as 9 minutes past six to try and say that he saw this coming and he predicted this? Is that, what I'm to take from those comments?
He says a positive result. He didn't predict it would be a win. A positive result was going to be a draw.
You were giving it all. I think we could get something.
Did we get something?
Ah, come on.
Did we get something? Yes, we did. So it was all down to me. I went early and I got a lot of great feedbacks on that, and a lot of great... good feedbacks.
Great feedbacks.
Yeah, great feedback.
Good stuff.
Right, yeah. On that. And well, obviously, that Steve Clarke's mind wouldn't be on Georgia. Yeah, I did. I had a feeling for Scotland the Tuesday night. And especially when Spain pitch up. And I know they've got some brilliant players. Of course they have. I watched them in the World Cup. Didn't impress me at all.
Even when they beat Costa Rica 7-0.
Listen, one swallow doesn't make a summer, I tell you that week in, week
out. True with Germany as well.
No, but they get knocked out, and that's why the manager was replaced. They pitched up at
good points, Gordon. They must have impressed you a wee bit when they won 7-0. And they won 7-0.
Costa Rica, no, they didn't. And they pitched up. They get knocked out. They didn't even qualify, Mark.
This is what do you mean?
They didn't go through to the next round.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
They didn't get to the quarterfinals.
Have the impression, right.
No, I tell you. Spain was
get
good.
Get a collar on. Just cut him
hold
off.
On, just quickly. But when you pitch up at Hampden, you make 8 changes from a win against Norway. I think you were sort of underestimating the Scotland side.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Why not?
And we showed them where to go.
01419511025. Ian is first through tonight. Ian, what's on your mind?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Mark. Good evening, the Dazzler.
Hello.
Gordon Dale. Can you hear me?
Yes, we've got you loud and clear. Carry on.
Just about the game. I've got a couple of points, obviously, but I'm going to let Celtic after, if that's okay. But talk about the Scotland game. Now, you've had quite a few guys on talking about players that shouldn't be playing for the national team because they're not playing for the respective clubs. Kieran Tierney, you can't leave a boy out. It's just the winning mentality there, Gordon, Martin Gordon. And he's got his stall set out. Now, I called a tune for the team on Tuesday. No disrespect to Ryan Jack. I don't know about you guys, the boys that played the football. I don't think Ryan Jack could have lasted the pace because of the high tempo, the high pressing and the possession that Spain have. But Spain are in a transition at the moment, but they made 8 changes. But they left a guy on the bench that he's 2 years, but he probably know very well, Alvaro Morata. I think he missed a penalty in one of Spain's cup games or something in the last Euros. Is that right?
I know who you mean. I know the very man.
But no, as I say, the result, does it rock the world? Does it? No, I mean, I think Scotland are capable. And Gordon Dale, you made the call on Tuesday night. You said Scotland's got a very, very good chance. I think Mark Wilson says, I don't think Scotland fear any nation. The way they're playing, that 3 at the back, and then your two wing-backs come in, and then it drops to the 4. No, I mean, whatever. You bring Robertson in, and it goes to the 4. Because you can put Tierney across into left-sided centre-back. But I think the future is great for the Scottish national team.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Mark, about the quite interesting about the formation, because that tends to be something that we debate loads in the build up to a game, and then we only really talk about it afterwards if it's gone wrong. Some people have never really liked the three at the back, if you want to call it that. And then some people sort of grudgingly accepted, right, well, we got to grips with it a bit more and it got us to a Euros. Yeah, but it wasn't good at the Euros. And then afterwards, and you know, Scott McTominay shouldn't be in there. Granted, he wasn't the other night. And then in the previous round of internationals, we did play a back four a couple of times. And yeah, folks, yeah, good, see, this is it. This is better. This is what we need to do. I don't see many people complaining about three at the back in the last 2 days.
No, well, international football, of course, is unique that you play the formation that suits the squad that you've got. It's not like club football where you're a manager, 4-3-3's your formation, you go out there and buy players to fit that and buy the best players in those positions, players you can work with. Steve Clark obviously knows what formation suits us and the personnel we've got. Now, I think it works. I like the three. It's almost like a 3-4-3, 3-4-2-1, if you like. We've got players that suit that. We know how to defend as well. It was quite interesting to see the other night how we defended. It was almost like a 6 across the midfield at times. That's why Spain found it so hard to play through. We need to find ways of making it difficult for these top teams. Steve Clark's done that. That's one of the first things I think installed in this team, being hard to beat. Now, it's not always went to plan. Of course, we've been beaten and well beaten sometimes, but it's been much, much better than what we're used to. And I also think the experience of the Euros, as disappointing as that was, Ian was talking about a journey and where we are just now, I think that's helped us along the way to dealing with pressure situations like Tuesday night was, and coming through the other end with a successful result.
It won't always work. It deserves to be criticised when it doesn't, Gordon DL, but this much maligned 3-5-2 at times, or whatever it is, 3-4-3 and variations in between, but three at the back with wing backs, factually, is the formation that got Scotland to its first tournament since 1998. It's the same formation that beat Denmark in what was, up until that point, the sort of result of the, I don't know, decade or whatever, maybe not quite, but you know what I mean, round about that, and then superseded the other night with this same one. So is it about time we started putting a bit more faith in these types of decisions?
I agree with Mark. I think it's their best formation, and the reason I think it's the best formation, it gets their best players in the team. For instance, Kieran Tierney at left centre back, he can go and he's a danger with Robertson, go down that left hand side. What it gives is a terrific balance, two wide guys, Robertson and Hickey was the other night there. It gives us a two in the middle of the park, McGregor and McTominay. It gives us that option of McGinn dropping in, Christie, and obviously one up top. I just think it gives us a real attacking force. Also, when we lose the ball, we can get into a nice defensive unit. I think balance wise, that is our best formation.
And what's interesting, Mark, I think, as Ian mentioned, someone like Kieran Tierney, Scott McTominay would be another example. I kept referencing it last night because you think back to last week and the calls that we were getting saying, you know, if you're not playing for your club, you shouldn't play for your national team. And I don't care if that includes Kieran Tierney, Scott McTominay, you know, you need to be playing. The performance the other night and over the last two games has been such that it's actually gone the other way. People are now saying, oh, Scott McTominay needs to start for Man United at the weekend. Yeah. And if Kieran Tierney can't get in the Arsenal team, fine, because they've got very good players. Well, this guy needs to go to another top club and play. So it's actually gone the other way. People are holding up the international performance as proof that they should be playing first team football somewhere.
I mean, the calls are tonight, you wonder what the argument is based on. They obviously play for a top club based on ability. Now, if they can't get into the team, these clubs can afford players on vast amount of money on huge transfer fees. Doesn't it mean that Tierney or McTominay's lost their quality? Doesn't even mean they've lost their fitness. We all speak about match fitness. Yes, okay, there's a bit of difference in that. But the level that these boys are training at with those clubs and the best players in the world is more than enough for them to come into your national team.
Thank you to Ian. 01419511025 is the number he dialed. And let's keep on the calls and see what else is coming in. We've got Andy, who's on the line currently. How are you, Andy? Is you know, have we calmed down a bit? The dust settled? Have we got a bit more perspective?
No, Gordon, I was very confident. I think I spoke to you last Thursday and says that I'll call you next Thursday when Scotland are sitting pretty and Norway have dropped points and we'll beat Spain, if you remember. So I spoke to you last week.
Listen, have you got the lottery numbers for tomorrow night, any chance?
Certainly not, no. I'll tell you what it is, Gordon. I believe in it. Mark and Gordon have played football and they'll tell you that at any time when you're in a successful team, there's always a wee bit of luck that goes a long way. And I know the more you play and the better you play, you make your own luck. But I feel as if the football gods are now starting to shine on Scotland just a wee bit, and we're taking that opportunity with both hands. I think over in the past couple of decades, we've just found new ways to lose. I mean, you go back to the Scotland-England game people were speaking about the other night. When Armstrong done that missed pass, you just know that England are going to equalise. When Hutton had the free kick against Italy for us to qualify a hand in many years ago, you just knew Italy were going to score. But again, the other night, I just felt as if it was content. And the things that I noticed is windows of luck. When Haaland got injured in this window, there was an opportunity for Norway, to drop points. In the next window, Spain are playing in the semi-final, the Nations League. So they're in it. But I also believe they got a wee bit of luck because the Spanish, because I think they've got that game against Italy and a new manager, he's tested out their full squad basically over the window, which went in their favour. You know, the next window, I think if we can take 4 points in the next window, you can say we've qualified.
Certainly in a very good position. And I kind of get what Andy means, because it's not something that you can measure, but it's just that gut that you get. It used to just feel like we'll find a way for it to go wrong somehow. And it might be a refereeing decision, but it might be a mistake, and it might just be one of these things. Slowly but surely, because after years of scarring, it takes a while to get rid of, but it does feel like that gut feeling is starting to erode a bit.
It does. And I think, again, going back to the manager, he's got a lot to do with that. You know, no frills sort of stuff. Even his personality, takes everything in his stride, and I think that's slowly rubbing off on his. Now, I get what Andy's saying about the luck. Of course, as you look at the bigger picture and you think, well, things could be a lot different for us. But how many times have we started a group, we've been 0 points out of six or one out of six, and we're saying, ah, well, that's it written off. You know, things have went our way, but we've deserved that. We've played well enough to get 6 points. So as much as you get the wee bit of luck, our organisation is what it needs to be at the top level in international football at the minute. So great credit has to go to the manager and the coaching staff for that, and the players for taking on board that message.
But here, the challenge, Andy, always is any international football, if you've got momentum, can you keep it? Can you just suddenly rediscover it again in a few months' time? That was actually a worry going into this window, and Scotland did do that. So now the challenge comes again in the next meetup.
Well, I don't think it's really a challenge. If you look at Steve Clarke, I suppose sometimes people complain about him. He's continuing to pick the same players, so that consistency will stay, because he's not going to surprise everybody with six debutants in that window. He'll stick with the guys he's created that squad mentality with. You know what I mean? It's even, I go back and I know he's all dismiss this part of it, but I always try and look as far forward as far in the future as possible. And I do believe that we've got that momentum about us, but I think we should actually be aiming to top the group now. Because topping the group, I think, I could be wrong, gives you a better seeding for the draw in the competition.
I think you can certainly aim for that, Mark. I think your language has to be clearly important. No one wants to get carried away, but this is a sprint. It's not a long league. This is a sprint. If you, after two games, are out in front in 6 points, you've got to at least go on and try and win it from there, and not just we'll just settle.
Looking far in the future though, like Andy's saying, you've got to think about what's around the corner. Also, Norway away, Spain away, and we've got Georgia who we've seen the other night. So
by
three
the way, even
tough away
let's
games.
Let's be honest, even over in Cyprus might not be a walk in the park. The second half wasn't entirely enjoyable.
Yeah, me and Daz will be there, of course, for that, won't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be getting that, to go. We trip to Cyprus, that's the one we'll pick.
Yeah.
So a lot of tough games to go, but look, let's be optimistic. We've beaten Spain at home. Big one is Norway. If we can get anything against Norway away, then I'm with Andy, we could top the group.
01419511025. Great time to call. You could be on after these.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. It is Twitter at Clyde SSB. So keep those calls, those tweets, those, I was going to say emails. I can't promise I read emails very quick. I'll get back
to emails
you.
In?
No, people actually email in.
We do emails. I get the odd one, and I usually find them about a week later.
WhatsApp? Have we got WhatsApp?
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Go we should set up a WhatsApp no, so people shouldn't. Can send voice notes in. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
It's up there with the worst ideas I've ever had.
I think that's good. A lot of people are.
We're trying to keep up with modern.
WhatsApp ads. Let's WhatsApp ads.
You love a WhatsApp voice message.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's quite alarming. Let's bring in Nadim, who's on the line. Take it away, Nadim.
How you doing, Gordon? All right?
Can't complain. Are you well?
I'm well. Certainly well after Tuesday night. Absolutely. You remember, I've still got a bit of a croaky voice from, from the celebration, so apologies. But yeah, I just like to talk about Scotland. I thought we were absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think the previous caller has probably stole my thunder a little bit in terms of some of the things I wanted to say. But yeah, I think a lot of things did go in our way. I think obviously Spain are in that transition period just now in terms of, you know, the turn of a lot of players just now in terms of going through a different phase out of play and so on. And also I think absolutely, I think one of the guys, maybe Martin mentioned it, that I think they absolutely underestimated us. Absolutely underestimated us. And also I think the pitch, it wasn't the best pitch, and I think that worked in our favour as well, because Spain has been all like to pass, and the pitch probably wasn't you know, conducive for them to do that. So I think those things worked in our favour. But I thought Scotland were just absolutely immense. I thought Hickey and Tierney are absolutely outstanding. Tierney for me is world class. I've heard that on the programme before. Hickey's absolutely immense. How many times do we talk about Robertson and Tierney being the left hand side, and we're crying out for a right sided top player, and I think Hickey now is that. I genuinely believe that we're only one position away from being a top side, and if we were to somehow unearth a top, you know, striker, I think we would be a top side. I really do. I think we've definitely got to aim for top space, top spot now. And the only concern really is, you know what Scotland are like, you know what we're like, we'll always do well against the big teams, and we'll always slip up against the kind of so-called minnows. So the games against Cyprus and Georgia, the ones that I worry about, the games against Spain and Norway will take care of themselves, I'm sure.
And the thing, Nadim's bang on, Gordon. I think everyone would agree about the you know, the striking position. If you're talking about the other night, we did it without our best one. You know, we don't have many, but our number one striker, who would have started the game, no doubt about it, wasn't available.
But I think I've got to give a lot of credit to Dykes. I think he played his part. Thought he was excellent. Nadim talks about the pitch. We slaughtered the pitch at the weekend, but it certainly helped us for the first goal. So we're grateful of that.
Was it a touch better than Saturday?
I thought so.
Does it matter?
I thought so. But I think we're looking at, you know, we've got a great result on Tuesday night, and we're still trying to down ourselves, be going, well, Spain made 8 changes of pitch, the, you know, the underestimate, which it probably did. But we've got to take the credit. I thought, one, the Steve Clarke got it bang on. Team selection, bang on. Give them all the credit in the world. Tactics, substitutions. You couldn't fault Steve Clarke and the staff for the performance on Tuesday night. And the players got it bang on. Absolutely every one of them. And they played for each other. They played with heart. They played with passion. And they got exactly what they deserved.
Did he mention some names, Mark? You know, about Tierney and Hickey, for instance. You could pretty much name them all, I'm sure. But it feels like in certain areas there's a real depth appearing all of a sudden. You remember, Stephen O'Donnell came in at a time when there weren't many right backs, and he put in some brilliant performances at Wembley and various big results. And then the Euros came around, and it was like, well, you know, is it time to take a sort of a risk on Nathan Patterson, if you like? He's young and untested. But now you've got him and Darren Hickey, and you've got Serie A midfielders like Lewis Ferguson getting just at Billy Gilmore, didn't get any game time at all over the two games. So it feels like there's a bit of a depth appearing
there
all of a sudden.
It certainly is. Our players individually, you look through the squad, our players individually are all, you know, holding their own, or most of them are holding their own at their club. And the ones that aren't getting any game time, it's because they're at top clubs that it's difficult to get in those sides. So Hickey's a prime example of someone that Steve Clarke brought into the fold as a young player on the rise, but who's now benefit from playing in the top league. Now, plenty of experience in Italy, but going to the top league in England has certainly brought him on. You can see that he's just more comfortable in his surroundings. So when these big games come around now, tend to forget about the Hickey in the summer when he was a wee bit out of his depth just because he was finding his feet. He's now grown into a tremendous player. And then Patterson, you know, comes on and you think, well, once he's fully fit, that sort of mirrors what happened on the other side. Robertson and Tierney, that's a great position to be in.
What formation does that lead to?
Exactly.
How many are we playing at the back here?
Well, you
is it four centre-backs with two wing-backs?
You could then say, well, put Patterson in right side the three. But Portis, the way Portis is now adapted to his club,
to have a side.
Honestly, it's a great position to be in. Now, I would agree with Nadeem. I'm not being negative, but that is the one position I think we all go to. In midfield, we've got an embarrassment of riches. In the wide areas, everything's cutting together. Centre half, we've got pace and aggression.
To be fair though, we don't have many wide attacking options, but we don't wingers, use them anyway.
No wingers, but with the formation we've got, I think it all fits. The focal point, Dykes, yes, good player. Adams, yes. Shankland can score goals in Scotland, but show Steve Clarke maybe didn't trust him enough. Maybe the injury came into his head to put him in the squad first time. Jacob Brown, I don't think's ever going to be the answer. So it's where we're lacking a bit. I'm a Dykes fan, right enough. I think he does well, but at the final stages, his chance at the end of the second half, the first half should I say, where he does great to get in and go. A top striker, a Gareth Bale who's carried Wales or any other top striker in Europe, puts that away.
Is this,
and that's
just,
the difference.
Just for clarity, this is you not being negative, right? Yeah. Just checking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's the only point.
I like Dykes, but a top striker puts that away.
Criticize me. I like his tattoos.
Imagine
I like his ink.
Imagine how daft you'd
he's
look.
He's drawn.
Oh, I know, but the neck tattoos.
I look sore at that.
Thank you to Nadeem on 01419511025. Right, let's bring in Ewan McTeer, who is a journalist based out in Spain, but as you can probably tell by the name and you're about to hear from the voice, very much Scottish. So how has this all gone down over in Spain, Ewan, over the last few days?
Yeah, hi guys. Yeah, as you can imagine, not well. It was strange to see this game from a Spanish point of view, because nobody really cared about it until they lost it. They beat Norway fairly comfortably at the weekend. They come into this one, they're the big favourites, and you could tell there was a sense they weren't taking this game seriously, and I think that was made clear when we saw the lineup. 8 changes. I couldn't believe it. I'd been semi-confident for a while that this Spain team is going through a transition, isn't the same Spain we've seen the last few years. But that 8 changes, I couldn't believe it. I thought that was underestimating Scotland. Obviously, it backfired on them. And then as soon as they lost it, of course, you can imagine the post-mortem here in Spain has been quite intense. Nobody can quite believe how the new coach, Luis de la Fuente, only his second game, how he got this one so wrong.
And yet he, whether it was a self-preservation thing, came out afterwards and spoke about, you know, that he was generally quite pleased with elements of the performance. I assume that's not gone down very well.
No, exactly. The post-match comments from him, from many of the players, they haven't gone down at all well here. Lots of excuses, lots of, we were the better team, 9 times out of 10, we would have won this, the grass was too long, lots of this, and the Spanish press aren't buying it. They know that Scotland were the better team on the day. They're not buying the players' excuses, and certainly not the coaches' excuses. So, yeah, real inquest has started there, and nobody is... you're right, it's probably a self-preservation thing. He can't say in his second game that he got it wrong. But yeah, the Spanish press are not buying it, and he's already on the back foot in that sense.
You mean to tell me that even in Spain they think Rodri was talking nonsense? Oh, this is music to my ears.
They absolutely do. They absolutely do. Him and David Garcia, the centre-back who said the grass was too long and the complaints about the pitch, every one of those kind of post-match interviews that I think most of us turned our noses up at, the Spanish press did the exact same. They weren't buying it. They don't want a Spain team coming out with excuses as to why they didn't beat Scotland. They want a Spain team that goes out and beats Scotland. So no, they turned that away just as much as all of us did.
Oh good, that does make me feel better, I must say, Gordon DL. But at the same time, there's still a frustration, because I look around social media, and in fact we're going to hear some comments as well from, you know, from John McGinn, Andy Robertson, just by Rodri saying it at all, it then becomes a legitimate debate almost. I get what you're saying, right? They're not even buying it in Spain, but it's still become this thing, this question. Okay, were Scotland's tactics rubbish? Did Scotland do that? And I feel like it's obviously with a little bit of bias, it shouldn't even be a question.
No, I think you've got to sometimes, although you look at the Spanish squad and you think, right, okay, world class players in there, They come to Hampden, 8 changes. I do think they underestimated Scotland. I've got to say that. And obviously, Scotland got a terrific win. I think you've just got to sometimes walk off the pitch, put your hand up and say, we were beat by the better team tonight. And that's exactly what happened at Hampden on Tuesday. You can make all excuses you want. The real people, the real football people know exactly how the game went. Scotland deserved everything. Their tactics were spot on. And let's be honest about it, it's a terrific thing.
It's almost like these players, some of these players at the top level, think that football should be played one way and that's it. Like the Pep Guardiola way, where everything's nice to watch and it's 100 passes and then you score a goal on a perfect surface. They forget that teams are tuned different ways. That managers, football's a game of thinking how you win the game rather than just playing the same way as your opponents. See, they're much better.
But this is, I think, where my frustration comes, because I would agree with that, but I also don't feel like it was a million miles away. For instance, right, it wasn't like we've got someone who can take a long throw and any time we hit the ball anywhere near the halfway line, it got shelled into the box and everyone went up and it was constantly booted long. I don't feel like there was enough in it for that to even
not at all,
come into
not at
the,
all. But
the
as soon as teams like Spain and Rodri come up against a physical enough side who play slightly different from what a Man City Arsenal game would be, it's like, well, the way they play is a bit rubbish, which of course is totally disrespectful and wrong.
Has there been any room for praise for Scotland over in Spain, Ewan, or is it all about the sort of the wrongdoings of their national team? Because we do it the opposite way around, to be fair. If Scotland are on the wrong end of a shock result, we don't tend to praise the opponent. We start our own post-mortem.
No, you can imagine every hour of late night Spanish football radio was about 55 minutes of blasting Spain. But the last 5 minutes is all about Scotland. Praising the players, McTominay for sure, obviously getting a lot of praise. But maybe more than the players and Steve Clark, it's the Hampden atmosphere is what a lot of the Spanish press were impressed by. And there's a real aura about Scottish football every time they come there. We saw it early in the season when Real Madrid came to Celtic Park. The media, almost more than the players and squad, have been there before, know how special these kind of nights can be. So I don't think they were underestimating that. I think the players and the coaching staff maybe did. So, yeah, the media really, you know, they've been to Hampden Park before. The last one, the 3-2, about a decade ago, that was a special night as well. So they know that Hampden Park can be special on a night like that. And, of course, got lots of praise for the atmosphere, especially for the correspondents that went over to Glasgow and were there in person.
It was a delight to be able to take advantage if Spain did underestimate Scotland or disrespect Scotland. The only thing then would be, are we safe to assume they won't make that mistake again when Scotland head over there?
Yeah, I'll tell you this, with the comments from the players, they haven't been echoed by the media in Spain. But you can tell there's a real niggle and attitude in the squad as they flew back from Glasgow, and they're going to have marked this one out for revenge in the return game. You know, Rodri will still be there, David Garcia will still be there, Hossellu will still be there. They'll really want to approach this the right way, really want to try and turn it around. Hopefully by then Scotland can almost be qualified that it won't matter. But you can tell the players are looking to that return game, and I don't think they'll make the same mistake again. I'll tell you just one last thing that we've spoken about all the mistakes, all the underestimating Spain did. One of the interviews that came out the day after from Hossellu really caught my eye, because he spoke about how they expected Scotland to play a back four, which really surprised me, because for the last several years, Scotland have tended to play with three centre-backs, especially games like this. I think most of us expected the kind of formation that we saw. So the fact that they went in there thinking there would be a back four, not being aware of that, that really just seemed to me like a kind of naivety from a rookie international coach. So, yeah, by the time we play them in October again in Spain, I don't think they'll be making the same mistakes. But those 3 points will still count on the board at the end of the campaign.
Absolutely, Ewan. We appreciate your time. That was Ewan McTeary. He's a Spanish football journalist, as you can hear. He clearly was delighted with the result the other night and given us the lowdown from what's going on over there. And it's good to know that they're not happy, Gordon. That just adds to it. 3 points is good. Yeah. If you can make other people miserable, that's the
listen. I hope every
works.
Team we play go away from Hampden not happy. But it will add a little bit of spice to the return game, I've got to say. But Scotland are up for it.
01419511025. Good time to call. Let's hear you.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson is here, so is Gordon DL, and they're both waiting for you to get in touch. 01419511025. And if you would rather tweet, you can do that as well at Clyde SSB. We just got the inside track from over in Spain. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed knowing that we've managed to ruffle a few feathers after the game. Of course, a lot of the post-match discussion has centred around those comments from Rodri moaning about Scotland's rubbish tactics and time wasting and falling over. Yeah, obviously not entirely sure what Spanish for irony is, but there we are. Let's hear from John McGinn. He's been speaking to Sky today on returning to Aston Villa, and spoke about that as well as looking back on the game and looking forward to the rest of the campaign.
I don't really have a huge amount of reaction. I wasn't really sure that there's something that could be targeted at us falling about and wasting time. Absolutely, if anyone expects us to go head to head with Spain in a tiki-taka battle for 90 minutes and expect us to come away with 3 points, then there's absolutely no chance. So I think everyone needs to get a bit of realism about it, realise that we need to find a way how to beat Spain, and we managed to do it. The grass is a bit long, the pitch was a little bit sticky, but it's in Scotland and it's not in Spain, so that's the benefits of being the home team. So I thought we handled the game well, maturely. Did we waste time a wee bit? Aye, absolutely, because we were winning from an early point. Will we rolling about and challenges? No, we were the same as the Spain players, so don't really agree with that, but Spain are a top team, and I'm sure they'll be back.
Having said that, I did like Aaron Hickey though. Rolling onto the pitch. But look, there is nothing wrong with that. We have been victim of stuff like this for many a year, where we fell victim to time wasting and gamesmanship. And it's, you know, it's okay for other teams to do it, and we've got about our business. I think John McGinn summed it up there. Went about the game in a mature fashion, that they managed the game well. Once they got their necks in front, that's exactly what they did, manage the games. Now, we've got big players at big clubs who are now used to tactics like that, and we utilised it well. So I think he spoke very, very well there, and I think most of the people or Scottish fans watching that game would agree.
Very honest interview. I like the fact that, see, I like people that think out the box. I know this has been tried before, but obviously Steve Clark's noticed the pitch from the weekend. He knows that Spain are coming into town. He played that to our advantage. Grass a wee bit long, does it matter? At the end of the day, it worked for us. We got the first goal where slip and down the left hand side. I just think we're,
but here's the thing, we could have slipped as well. Do you know what I mean? It's not like,
but they did, we didn't.
Some sort of coordinated effort that would guarantee. Obviously when it's a bit heavier, then the team who favours speedy ball possession will lose out. But
I think we're taking a wee bit of credit away from what we achieved. Mark used a great word there, managed. The minute we're 2-0, manage the game. And that's what good pros do. They manage the game. They make sure that there's not anything that has got to put them under a bit of pressure with 5-10 minutes to go, letting Spain in with a goal or whatever it may be. I couldn't understand as well, just listening to the reporter Ewan in Spain, was how badly could the Spanish coach get our formation wrong? You know, yeah, teams could get in with four, but you must recognise that they played with a three at the weekend, so it could possibly be a three. So you just can't go there with a thing in your head that's a back four. I thought that Spain got it all wrong and we got it all right.
Now let's bring in Paul, who's on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm good.
Okay, man, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking the WhatsApp group would be a great idea.
Yeah, Paul. Let's hear it for the people.
I've got a gore story that there's no way.
Just you shut up, Gaff. Just you hang up as we speak.
Anyway, I mean, as predicted, we went from being, you know, a well-oiled side to being world beaters. But out with our first 11, we've still got a few weaknesses. The centre forward position, the goalkeeping position is a big worry, in the sense of the lack of experience. And I don't know if anything happened
anything's happened with David Marshall and Steve Clark, but I would be having him or someone like that. I know Craig Gordon's injured, but you know, an older head, almost like a Joe Hart figure, if you like, with the goalkeepers, because you're going away to Spain, you're going away to Norway with Haaland, who's going to be a battering ram into the 6-yard box. So that worries me. There's a dearth of talent at the other end of the pitch. And then you've got people like Ryan Jack, David Turnbull, are on the fringes of their own sides. So it's not all, I'm not trying to be negative, but apart from the stellar first 11, there's not a lot of depth.
Listen, the striker point, everyone agrees with you, but I mean, David Turnbull didn't make the squad. Nathan Patterson is the sort of backup right back now. Billy Gilmore didn't get a single minute. Lewis Ferguson's in Serie A and didn't come on for any meaningful length of time. The defence has been praised, but over the last couple of campaigns, over the last couple of games, sorry, we're talking about guys like John Souter, who scored against Denmark, and various others have had rave reviews playing in there as well. Striker, I think everyone would agree, but you're not being a bit harsh elsewhere on the pitch?
Well, when you rhyme those off, then maybe so. But I just think the goalkeeping, it was a bit of a strange one. If it's like Liam Kelly and, you know, Xander Clark only get a game at Hearts because of Craig Gordon, then if any Hearts to Angus Gunn, are these guys going to be good enough in away games? It's one thing playing at Hampden, it's another thing playing away games. So I just, I mean, does the panel think there's any other goalkeepers that, you know, have been in the squad previously that could come in?
Well, previously, probably not, but Steve Clark is looking at the Brighton goalkeeper, so that might Jason be Steele. Adding to his quota in terms of goalkeepers. Like Angus Gunn, I don't think he had much to do, but I do think he looked assured in both games, and I think we've got to give him time to show what he can do when called upon, which he will be in this group. But
what Paul said there about being inexperienced, of course all three are, but what we've seen with the rest of the squad, when you don't have loads of options, it really, surely the priority becomes getting Angus Gunn experienced and quickly. There's no point in now going, right, well, you know, he had a half a mistake there, so let's give Xander Clark a game. That wasn't brilliant either. Let's try Liam Kelly. I'm not saying that it's just his, irrespective of what he does, but one of them is going to need to try and rack up some experience quickly.
Exactly.
And Paul asks about David Marshall. There's the emotional thing of, you know, is he going to come out of retirement? And how is David Marshall's form this season?
Well,
is it any better than Angus Gunn's?
Probably not. But international football is funny that you could have the most experienced club player in the league come into your side and people say, well, he's inexperienced at this level. It's a game of football, you know. So what do you need 10 caps, 12 caps to be classed as experienced? Look at our young players. By the way, some of them came on the other night and I'm thinking, wow, they've got how many caps? But that's credit to the manager who's blooded them in at the right time. I think we're fortunate that we've now got a full squad that has amassed quite a lot of caps. The goalkeeping position,
it was a huge problem for a while, that.
It was a huge problem, but the goalkeeping position is the oddity in that. You look at that Spanish team, talking about them in transition, we are fortunate we don't have that. We only have it really in one position. And I think it looks fine at the minute. Now, the Brighton goalie may come in to challenge him. It's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with having too many good goalkeepers in the squad. But I think Angus Gunn deserves a bit of stick. He was under pressure, by the way.
Deserves
some credit. He was getting some stick from people before he even played. He was under a bit of pressure. Now, he didn't have a lot to do, but he looked fine to me.
Paul is bang on. If you're talking factually, Gordon, they're inexperienced. You know, it is. He almost acknowledges himself, if the answer to the question of is there anyone else, if the answer to that's no, then a great deal of options there. You're going to have to get Angus Gunn experience quickly.
But the way I look at it is he's had two caps, two clean sheets. You could take confidence for that. Yes, he'll be asked questions in the campaign. Of course he will. Going away from home, he'll have to be probably the main man at times. We've got to give him that opportunity. I'm not too okay. We're looking at Brighton goalkeeper. I don't know a lot about him. I've not seen him that often to say, yeah, he's better than Angus Gunn. But right now I think we've got good backup. I think we've got good squads. Now you're looking at Kelly, you're looking at Clark, two club players that are playing very well just now. Yes, Paul's right about Clark. If Craig Gordon's fit at Hearts, he's number two.
Just quickly, because we're running out of time, if there is a glance towards Jason Steele of Brighton and trying to look at that, does that suggest a lack of faith in Xander Clark and Liam Kelly? Or is it just about trying to get the best you can, irrespective of...
Honestly, looking at the situation with the goalkeepers being in the squad and the many times they've not had a cap yet, yeah, I think he's looking for better.
Thank you, Paul. We're a bit late for this. Appreciate you getting in touch. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. One of you lost on Tuesday, did you not?
No, beat the pony. Sent him packing back to his stable. Yeah.
You did. He trotted off with his tail between his legs. Oh,
keep them coming.
Keep them coming. Fell down, giddy up.
You're just saying horse things now. It's pony.
Oh, is it pony? But they can fall down as well.
01419511025. That is the number you need. You need to call before 7 o'clock, and it could be you who plays Mark Wilson or Gordon DL next. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here, both keen for you to join them though. 01419511025. It's not often that we get good Scotland results to look back on. It's getting more and more often in the last few years, we have to say. So we're milking it for all it's worth. But at 7 o'clock on Thursday, with big games in the league on Saturday, you might want to move on to domestic football in the second part of tonight's show. Or you can keep it coming with all your thoughts on Scotland and Rodri's tears and Steve Clark and the players and the campaign and all the rest of it. So 01419511025, and we'll get to you after this. So this is a perfect time to give us a call. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. I forgot you won on Tuesday, actually. It just feels like you two are always on the back of a defeat. Good win against Crazy Pony on Tuesday. Let's bring in Cammy this evening. How's it going, Cammy?
Not bad, thanks, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. Have you ever played before?
No.
Good. By the way, this is what amazes me about this show. It's Beat the Pundit is at a good old innings. It's been going for a few years. What do we do? 220 odd midweek shows a season. The amount of people that are still phoning in for the first time because the thought of embarrassing you two is just too good to resist.
Very rarely happens, so. Cammy's certainly not going to be one of them.
Cammy sounds a bit boring, doesn't he? To be honest.
Sorry, Cammy.
He must be good. Yeah, you do, Cammy. There's no much about you.
He's just
going to be living up a wee bit. You're
Cammy
on radio.
Not come on the radio to be slaughtered by you two.
There's people listening to you out there. Come on, Cammy.
What's your excuse? Anyway, heads, it'll be Mark Wilson, tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is heads. It's you in the saddle again.
All right. Oh, after nice. See what you've done.
Come on, Cammy. Liven up.
Let's give Mark some Clyde 2 to listen to. Cammy, I know they talk a lot of nonsense, so it's hard to react sometimes, but we're ready. We've got 30 seconds on the clock. Just answer as many as you can. And if you'd rather pass and move on, that is fine, okay?
Perfect.
Let's go. 30 seconds starting now. Who were the last team to beat Scotland men's team in an international game?
It's Croatia.
Which former Celtic player started for Greece against Gibraltar on Friday?
Giacomakis.
How many different spells did Kenny Miller have at Rangers?
Three.
Who did Steve Clark replace as Scotland manager?
Alex McLeish.
What's the biggest stadium in the Scottish Championship?
Fahill.
Who beat England in the final of Euro 2020?
Italy.
Name the only Scottish side that Paul Lambert has managed.
Motherwell.
Okay, Mark Wilson, you got us?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. Just enjoying the music there. Dirty Dancing took me back
to
the summer.
I say this a lot, but you do look particularly red-faced tonight. Is there, you got everything okay?
Got a hoodie on here and it's think, roasted in
you think
studio.
It's the hoodie that's given that away?
Camel colour.
I was going to say, what colour would we call that?
The best.
Camel.
That is not the best.
Alex Ray isn't here.
Goes with the beard and the hair.
That's what I'm going for.
Do you remember that actually? Do you remember that years ago? Well, the last time we discussed a camel coloured item of clothing in this show
took an unexpected turn.
It took a really unexpected turn.
How did Cammy do there?
Cammy did alright. Yeah. Are you ready, Mark?
Aye.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who were the last team to beat Scotland's men's team in an international game?
Turkey.
Which former Celtic player started for Greece against Gibraltar on Friday?
Samaras.
See back. How many different spells did Kenny Miller have at Rangers?
Three.
Who did Steve Clarke replace as Scotland manager?
Gordon Strachan.
What is the biggest stadium in the Scottish Championship?
Oh, Dundee.
Who beat England in the Euro 2020 final?
Italy.
Name the only Scottish side Paul Lambert managed.
Livingston.
Oh, you've rescued it.
That was woeful.
Oh, it was
that was woeful. I feel like deducting points from you. Turkey were the last team to beat Scotland, Cammy, I'm afraid. So Mark goes 1-0 in front. Giakoumakis, anyone?
Someone else. Oh,
is he back? How old is Georgios Samaras right
now? Dreadful. He must be the same age as me. He was the only Greek I can think of.
He's kept himself fit.
Incredible. Incredibly bad.
That was a poor answer.
He's 38. It's possible. But come on, come
didn't
on.
He think he was back? He didn't move much when he was playing.
1-1. Kenny Miller had three spells at Rangers. You both got it, so we're still level. Alex McLeish,
my
was
man.
Before Stevie Clark. Come on, Mark. Come on, Mark.
Did you say Gordon Strachan?
I said Strachan.
You've just said Strachan in your head.
So that's one up to Cammy.
Oh, Cammy's leading. What? Boring Cammy's leading.
You got that right.
Here we go.
Listen, Cammy lining up now. And a ball on the way to Cammy.
3-2, Cammy.
You counted that right. Oh, he got Giakoumakis.
Excuse me.
He got Giakoumakis.
3-2 to Cammy. What a game this is. The biggest stadium in the Championship.
Fir Hill?
Cammy said Fir Hill. But it's Dens Park.
Cammy, what are you saying now?
11,850 for anyone that's counting. The Kilmac Stadium, as it sometimes. In fact, should we deduct that from Mark because he didn't call it the Kilmac Stadium?
Certainly. No, you've got to Kill give us great shout, sir.
A wonderful night, of course. Italy beat England in the final of Euro 2020. Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll ever forget? Do you think when you look back on that final and hold on, why was the final of Euro 2020 played in July 2021? The fact that they just kept the name weird. Yeah. Anyway, we move on. You both got that, so we still level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One more question.
What is it?
You just.
Oh, he's got this
by
right.
The skin of your teeth got there in time though.
He's got it right. What is the question?
The only Scottish side that Paul Lambert managed
Livingston.
Was Livingston. Cammy said Motherwell.
Cammy.
I'm going to stick up for you here. Win, lose or draw, there is no chance I am letting you take stick off a guy that thought Georgios Samaras played for Greece on Friday. So
done questions are scam anyway, so it's alright.
Exactly. I take it away from him. Unlucky Cammy. Hard lines.
No worries, see you later.
Good man.
Well done, Cammy.
Hall of victory.
No, not at all.
Tainted title.
How many did I get? I think five there. Maybe four or five. Five.
To be very boring, Cammy. You done alright?
He livened up a bit.
Five, four.
I did.
Five,
he thought
four.
He had a ball, didn't he? He thought he had a ball. He's like, yeah, come on, we'll loot the bank. We're going out the back.
As soon as he got Giakoumakis, he thought he was it. Brought down to earth, Charlie.
We'll play Kirby.
You know what? I was even surprised at that myself. I thought, has he came out of retirement? And I've not read that. What's
Dundee was excellent.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Excellent.
I thought that was always.
Excellent. I thought that was hard.
Yeah, what? Yeah, it was a tough one.
Think so?
Aye.
Yeah.
You need to go round the grounds, don't you?
Yeah, that's why you looked at the ball, didn't you?
I was looking fair, for a look. I mean, there's only about 1,000 in it as well.
Yeah, but I know I've played at both, and it's always a bigger crowd.
Sat on the bench at both and counted the seats. Had a little look around.
Yeah. Aint to kill the time.
What's Georgios Samaras up to? Just out of curiosity.
He'll just be. I don't know.
Let's look him up.
Enjoying Greece, won't he?
Do you know? Remember we were talking about Kusan on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that Mark could catch him now. Apparently, that's a lot of muscle that he's put on.
I do agree with that. Actually,
I thought it was the other way.
The size of his calves. He looked like a. But that I don't care where the weight gain has come from. I just think Mark would catch him now. I saw him running onto the pitch.
Can we
drop the word now? Everybody keeps saying now. No, it was only one time he ran by me.
So what, did you deliberately go slow that time, or?
Well, I slowed down. If you look back at the clip, I had him and I slowed down. I missed my opportunity.
He's Kieran Tierney and you are
at that eye. Carvajal. Him up was dragging his eye rear end the other night.
Well, apparently, well, you look at the 100 metre runners now, the sprinters, all muscle. So he might still be there for you, Mark.
By the way, I'm now going to start a campaign to find out what Georgios Samaras is up to.
He'll be living a quiet life.
I'm on his Wikipedia. I'm having a look around. There's been no mention of Georgios Samaras.
He wasn't playing on Tuesday night, that's for sure.
He'll be going about somewhere with a pair of joggies on with one leg rolled up. He'll love that.
There has been no mention of him anywhere in the last 6 years. I can't see any mention of him.
He'll not need to work again. Big Sammy looked after himself.
You were there at the same time as him, weren't you?
Aye.
Were you friendly?
He was a great guy. Ah, he was. Lovely big guy. Ah, very nice. Not, I've honestly not got a bad word to say about him.
Good. Thanks for that insight. 01419511025. I was hoping for something a bit more.
It's always
well, actually, sometimes 5 minutes into a game, he couldn't be bothered, and he quite often got the feel for it. But
when he was on it,
he could run by
anybody. He's not listening. Just give it to him.
I can't. Open that's up. The thing. There's others I would, but.
Open. Oh, who?
Don't say that. Edson Braffy. He's always banging on about Edson Braffy.
Don't get me started on him. World Cup
you didn't
finalist.
Like him, did you?
He was just arrogant beyond belief.
01419511025. Let's hear from the Scotland captain. He's now the second highest ever in terms of number of caps as captain, Andy Robertson. He's racked up a fair few, and this was his take on returning to club duty today with Liverpool, speaking to Sky.
It was an excellent camp. We had a really good week leading up to the two games, and we knew we were, you know, ready for the challenges ahead. Obviously, Saturday and Tuesday were two completely different games. Saturday, we dominated the ball a bit more and had a bit more pressure on us, and we dealt with that well. And then Tuesday, obviously, kind of speaks for itself. We had the belief within the squad, within the, you know, everyone behind the scenes, that we could get a result, and it was about trying to follow the game plan that we put in place, and I think we followed it pretty perfectly, which always helps. And I think to a man, we were excellent. We won our individual battles, and then, you know, I think we got the result that we deserved. I think anyone that watched the game couldn't really argue that. You know, we limited Spain to chances, you know, very limited chances, and, you know, we created a good few ourselves. So really happy with the week we had. Obviously, it's only the start of the group. You know, we obviously have aims to try and get to the Euros, and we've took the first step, but, you know, there's plenty more still to go.
Let's bring in David. In fact, you know what, just quickly before we do that, I'm alarmed, in fact, that we've just heard from Andy Robertson. It's a great milestone for him this week. Like I say, he's now the second highest caps as captain holder, if that makes any sense. Yeah. And you've chosen tonight as the first night in the last 4 months to come in without your Andy Robertson hoodie on. Is there a reason for that? Have you finally put it in the wash?
I gave it a wash.
That thing could walk to the studio itself.
It's well used.
Every night. We spoke behind your back. Well, here he comes again. I wonder if
with a uniform on.
AR-26 is in the car park.
Incredible.
Even his car's got it. Have you noticed his car? AR-26.
My own personal car. I've just put it on.
Red plate.
Yeah, well done, Andy. Yeah, unbelievable.
It is a good achievement. And I saw, I think it was like Sky Retro or something put up a clip the other day of him speaking, reacting to his first ever call up when he was at Dundee United. I think it was around 2014
The interesting thing with that is, remember the story, Gordon Strachan called him up to the squad to train with the first team at Hampden, and liked what he saw that much. You know, just a shadow player that you then get fast track through.
And it doesn't feel like that long ago, but you'll appreciate this humour. It was, he's there at St Andrews, I assume it is, where Dundee United are training. His hair's a bit kind of long, a bit scruffy, sort of blown in the wind, curly at the front, and he's got one of those Under Armours on, the kind of you know, high neck type,
yeah, got
and
one.
Then a black top underneath. And someone, I saw people commenting on it saying he looks like he's about to make his debut in the Grand National instead of for Scotland. He does look alarmingly like a jockey in this video.
There wasn't much about him in those days. He was a skinny,
he's,
you know,
gone on
little
and
lad.
I was thinking about a horse. Right.
He's gone on and done not too badly, I think we'll agree. Let's bring in David in Barrhead. What's your point tonight, David?
Well, I'd like to make a wee point and congratulate Steve Clark and the squad for two fantastic results. The whole team played great. I mean, that was fantastic, but the Spanish whinging and complaining has just, it's shocking. I mean, Spain are renowned as a team for diving and trying to win penalties, and for them to start claiming that's what we were doing is shocking. The grass was too wrong. I'm surprised they're not claiming it was the wrong colour of green or something. But they've been shown to be a mediocre team who underestimated Scotland, and overestimated their own ability to win a game, and were shown up for being just that, a mediocre team who'd flat up to deceive. They could get a few chances, but nothing extraordinary.
Yeah, I think that's, Mark, like we said, there's the sore loser bit of it, but the irony bit of it. If you're talking about going down too easily, I mean, I don't really care what Spain have done in the past, but just let's limit ourselves to the other night. They clearly tried to buy a penalty in quite dramatic fashion. Oh. In fact, VAR doesn't dish out yellow cards, as we know, but it is a frustration that when if there's a check that goes on and it's not given. Quite often, if a player's gone down, you see people moaning that, you know, that player should be dealt with retrospectively. Yeah. So there's a sort of irony to it as well.
See, just on that, I think that should be a rule because it's blatant cheating. And if we've got the cameras there to catch it out, then it should be dealt with. But the one in the first half was ridiculous. So Rodri in particular loses all sense of reality there where he's on. He's obviously hurting that they've been defeated. He's forgotten about how his own teammates have conducted himself. But let's be honest, David says a mediocre team. Yes, they were mediocre on Tuesday night, but they made 8 changes. So I'm pretty certain Steve Clarke and the players won't get complacent when we play them again, because they are a very good side. And let's not take anything away from your boys by saying, oh, we beat a mediocre Spain team. It's Spain side. Very good players, even the ones that came in. Are very good. We just outplayed them.
David's right though, Gordon. If you look at the quality of chances they created, it was nowhere near what you would have anticipated. I mean, you remember the Gary Caldwell day beating France at Hampden. Thierry Henry spat the dummy afterwards. These things happen. But the thing about the France games, they were great, and you can't take anything away. But they were smash and grab. They really, really were. Now that France side was top, so there's no shame in it whatsoever. But they were smash and grab. Whereas the other night, it just wasn't like that. It was nowhere near like that. If you think of Lyndon Dyke's chance, Lauren Shanklin's chance to put gloss on it. And it's funny because before the break we were talking about Angus Gunn, and it got into my head. In two games, no one was ever even through on goal at any point. You know, there was never that. You know, he had a header to save, but there was never actually a moment where a team created like that proper opening.
I thought the other night that it was a Spanish team that their egos were dented, Gordon. I think that's why they've responded. I thought, listen to Ewan over in Spain talking about the feedback they're getting over there about the Spanish coach who's just new, obviously, and after a disappointing World Cup campaign. There's a lot of excuses getting branded about. I don't think we hype up ourselves enough. I think the last two games, yep, there were bits in the Cyprus where I think a lot of people weren't very happy, but it was still 3. It was a clean sheet. I had a feeling because of the way this group's grown together. There's a lot of players there have come through, and the disappointments of the Euros and some highs and lows, and they've come through that together with the manager. And I think that's shown dividends now. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. I think they're playing very well indeed. You play against a Spain team, whether make 8 changes or not, you get a clean sheet, and you can hardly say your goalkeeper's man of the match, can you? I just thought Scotland got everything right on the night, to be honest.
David, how optimistic are you about the rest of the campaign, or is it still laced with a bit of fear? If Spain revert to their strongest side, they'll be at home, they won't want to make the same mistakes again, Norway might have Haaland back and so on. Are there a few elements of fear in there, or are you optimistic?
We couldn't have made a better start. I mean, if you'd said to us we were going to have played 2, won 2, scored 5, conceded none, they'd have locked you up. They'd have put you on medication. But as you've already said, these players are playing well. They're playing under the way that Steve Clarke wants them to play, and they're getting results. And to be honest, we might not win the group, but I can't see any reason, if we keep playing the way we're playing, we can keep away from injuries and suspensions, that we can't go through as a second best team.
Looking forward to it anyway, David. It's going to have to go in the back burner for a bit. Maybe this would be the time to do that. Maybe we'll start hearing from some club managers next, if you like the sound of that. 0141 951 1025. Stuart Kettlewell saying he now accepts that after much debate, Fashion Sakala's goal at Fir Park last week was onside. There's all these accusations about wonky lines and all that stuff, and he was unclear, but Motherwell manager now accepts it. So we'll hear from him. And you are actually, you're getting a bit of stick from your fellow pundits here. Roger Hanna's been in touch. He's trying to take that victory off you.
Why?
Because when I said, what's the biggest stadium in the championship, you said Dundee. And he says that's not a stadium. And he also says, I wouldn't have given that to you, Gordon Deal, as a correct answer.
That's fair comment for Roger.
Roger, just you concentrate on the paper, mate. You're not on the right.
01419511025. You got something to add?
Roger's nickname. He just did a certain.
Anyway, I was giving you a bit of ammunition.
I wouldn't call him that.
Never mind. We'll be back with more of your calls next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are here. You can still get in touch between now and 8 o'clock on the phones or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We've got the answer to the question that's been burning everyone for Samaras. The last 10 minutes. James O'Neill says Samaras is now in the boardroom of OFI Crete. I mean, I assume that's a football team, but it could be literally anything.
Really?
Sounds like a
in the boardroom right now.
Right now,
physically
having a few scoops and enjoying a buffet.
Matthew's updated it. He says that he was the VP and CEO, a busy man, of OFI Crete until last September. No idea what he did after. So could be anywhere.
He was what? The VP. CEO? Did you say
vice president, VP?
And CEO, apparently.
Or vinegar peanut.
Now, for people who you'd never think would go into that role, he's got to be
VP.
The top one that I've ever played with. Well,
there you go.
That you could think.
Well, don't get me wrong, he's not there anymore, apparently, so who knows? He could be anywhere.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. You wouldn't think it was centre forward for Celtic would be flying planes, would you? What's his name?
Oh, Brabac.
Brabac.
I wonder where you're going with it.
I know it's a subtle difference, but why did you just call him Brat Pack, like some sort of tribute act?
Did you play with him?
Shut up.
What year, for real? Yeah, what year did he play?
98.
Oh, you didn't play with him. He flies planes now, doesn't he?
He does, but there why do you know nothing about his career? I think he's the best friend you've got on this earth now.
Thanks.
Do you know, I was down at Gledick picking up a golf club today. And
what sort of shameless plug was that? Don't even go there.
And we told
that sounds
James,
like an entirely unnecessary
been
detail.
Very good to me.
Which means that you're trying to get something.
Oh, yeah, golf club. Well done, boys. I told you I'd get that plug in.
I can see right
take
through
the
him.
Vat off that
good
price.
Work. Masterly. Oh,
brilliant.
Done.
Brilliant. That's a club for nothing.
I saw right through that.
But what I'm going to say, a positive, somebody turned around and says to me, Mark Wilson was a real good player, wasn't he? Mm. I says, I have absolutely no idea, because I've never seen him play.
Honestly, I think
I'll expect a club coming my way. Also,
I think all things considered,
I
think he is your best friend.
Absolutely not, chance.
I genuinely do.
You
I think he
speak
is.
To him. Anybody else?
I can't think. Yeah.
Aye.
There's absolutely no. I wouldn't cross the road with him. There's absolutely.
And you know nothing about his career.
I'm standing right here. You don't need to be that harsh.
I phoned me last Sunday. Why don't you get a taxi at my house? I went, seriously.
If you get married again, he'll be the best man.
Absolutely not. A wee Chris will be.
If it's not me or him, I can't think of who's going to be. And quite frankly, I'd like to conduct the ceremony.
What about my big mate, a relative of you, Big Marco boy?
Right, okay, that's like the big one other banana. Person I can
Hold
think
on
of.
A minute, I'm getting.
Dump for
I'm getting dumped
anyway.
For Marco.
Anyway.
Marco.
Right, let's move on. This show's taking an even weirder turn.
I'm not getting married again, just in case the females are out there.
Your house on your Twitter will blow up.
I've turned your mic off. Here's the nice transition back to club football with your full time teaser tonight. Stephen says, can you name 9 former Rangers players to have scored at least once in the English Championship this season? It's a great question. Can you name 9 former Rangers players who've scored at least 1 in the English Championship this season?
Lycorn.
What was the goal again?
Lob. Gunn. Huddersfield.
That's right.
This was Norwich.
The 110 second clip you've seen of Angus Gunn this season. You've mentioned it about 50 times in the last 2 weeks.
Windass.
He is in League One, I think, isn't he? Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, sorry. So he is.
Worrell. No. No.
Who's he's the Premier League with Forest.
Premier League.
Forest.
Ah, this is going to be too difficult, I reckon. Diallo.
Brilliant. Well done.
Yeah, Sunderland.
Ahmad Diallo. He scored a few. Very good form. Okay, we can leave it there. You've got seven more to get. Can you name nine former Rangers players who've scored in the English Championship this season? And thanks to Stephen, he sent that over to me on the email fulltime@clyde1.com. What was that noise?
I don't know. I think that'll be a proposal for me. Was that's Walsh's phone.
Oh, no, mine's is on silent.
So's mine.
So's mine.
No, mine is it? Hold on.
I thought we had a Gary Lineker moment on our hands there.
Oh, it is. Roger Hanna, can I be an usher?
Right, keep your questions coming in like Stephen did tonight. fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's start hearing from some club managers. We're easing our way back to the Premiership action. I'm sure it will be a bit more full on tomorrow night. We'll hear from Michael Beale tomorrow, Ange Postecoglou tomorrow, and various others. Let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell, because a refreshing change about this international break is we've not really moaned about VAR that much. I think we did it at the start of the break, certainly. But Stuart Kettlewell spoke today. He's still calling for consistency from officials after discussing several recent incidents. He's used the break to discuss them with Crawford Allen, things he feels have gone against Motherwell. And of course there was that contentious one a couple of weeks ago, or what he felt was contentious at the time, when the VAR offside lines were touching each other. And here's what he had to say on that.
I was told, on no uncertain terms, if the lines are touching, the attacking player gains the advantage. So that's what I'll now work off of from that. I did question that decision, as you guys probably know, post-match. And it's where I stick my hands up and say, well, by all accounts, then Fashion Sakala should be waved onside and the goal should count. But I now think then, and the flip side of that, that's how it needs to be moving forward, because that's what we've been told.
With all due respect, and I'd have loved Motherwell to be on the receiving end of some big injustice, and we could stir up a campaign. I'd lead it with this man to my right.
Yeah,
that will be the way it is going forward, to Stuart Kettlewell, and it has been that way. I've said it on this show many times this season. That wasn't a secret. And fine, if people need clarity or whatever, fine, that's what we're here for, and that's what the refereeing department's there for. But it's always been that way since VAR got brought in here. If those lines touch, benefit to the attacker, which means if you're given as offside, you're actually off by, not loads, but you're off by a decent bit. We don't really do the whole toenail thing, because there needs to be gaps between the lines.
Yeah.
So by all means, people can keep fighting their corner and they can keep debating things, but maybe we're not helping ourselves. I mean, we had proper debates. I saw newspaper articles, I saw former referees, I saw lots of pundits and ex-players, and certainly loads of fans holding up that Fashion Sakala incident as if it was factually wrong, putting like a matter of fact that this is a blunder and something's going on and that should have been given as offside.
Yeah.
When you've now got the Motherwell manager actually holding his hands up and saying, okay, if that's the reason, then I accept it.
So there's been enough debate around it for me to then think that everybody didn't know that that was what should be applied. So even there you are, our manager in the Premiership saying that he didn't know, but he's now been corrected. I've got to hold my hands up, Gordon. I didn't quite know that. The chances of it happening.
I've told you to that before the game.
The chances of it happening are probably that close, are probably relatively slim throughout the year. But I must admit, I'm not entirely sure of that. So I wasn't on the show that day. But I must admit, I didn't know. But there you are. There's the proof. Stuart Kettlewell didn't know. A manager. You've just said that there's been loads of debates, there's been newspaper articles that people saying it's factually incorrect. What's the solution? I guess at the start of the season, I suppose just another brief snapshot of what maybe wasn't explained clearly, right, or what we didn't take on board.
I think the managers know that.
No, but I think partially fair, right? Because hold on, this is not all about knowledge, because there has to be an element of trust. Bearing in mind, it's the main bit of VAR where you're just kind of giving your trust to the technology. It's not the same level of subjectivity that you get. You're not looking at a red card challenge. it doesn't matter if the camera's in line, all that stuff. We've said all this before. The cameras are calibrated so that when the lines get plotted, and granted you have to identify the correct part of the attacker's body and the defender's body, it then tells you, you know, what the script is with those lines. So whether you know for sure about this thing about, you know, if they're touching, does there not also just need to be an element of trust that if the technology says offside
100%.
By the way, I would never make anyone trust it 100%, because everything's flawed. Everything is. But just like I say, a level, line, a reasonable level
lines,
of trust.
The lines for me, the offside 99. For me, no, it's 100%, I think.
By the way, no, it's probably not being, because I don't think anything is. No. But
even just technology, just a level of calibrates trust. It, and I think perhaps things could be missed, like we saw in the Arsenal game. Remember where stages of play. Now that's where it'll get missed. But if you're drawing the line, okay, I'm going to stick my net in the line and say I trust that that's 100%. I trust that. That's technology. Unless somebody runs down and moves one of the cameras before the game. However,
but again, just, I know it was a joke, but it doesn't matter where the camera is. That's the expensive bit.
Okay,
so when people keep talking about, I mean, I saw again, this, it was almost this matter of fact. People were pausing their telly, putting it on Twitter.
Grass cut.
The lines are wonky or whatever. I mean, but that's just factually
incorrect. That's what I mean. Just that knowledge and someone at the start of the season giving a wee tutorial and saying this is how things are calibrated, it cannot be wrong, and this is what happens if the lines are close. It takes away managers then coming out after the games, and I think giving an interview that then stokes the flames for those arguments and those fans on Twitter.
I get a bit of that, but I think I knew it. I think lots of other people who've been to the VAR centre would have known it. I think
Gordon, listen, I don't dispute that, but you've presented to me, your argument was that it was there, it was a debate, so it then suggests to me and one of your managers didn't know it. So
I think partially yes, but also maybe proof that we will debate anything though. Do you know what I'm saying? Because something is a debate here doesn't necessarily mean it's a legitimate debate. You must know that by now.
Of course. But if one of your managers has came out and says I hold my hands up, I didn't know that, then you've got to surely understand that not everybody's like you that clearly understood it.
But you've got to get,
what do you mean, like, Stuart Gelwell, your Motherwell manager, it's happened. So it's not like you can say that's not happened. It's happened. You just gave a noise like I've just made that up.
Well, we can do more. Or you can then say, or you can,
that's
then,
what I'm saying, we could do more.
No, I'm talking about we as people who are on the receiving end of it can do more. And you can then go away quietly and find out.
I'm sure we could. I'm not pointing us just at VAR and the SFA and the referees. I'm with you. We could do more. We could sit down and pay more attention. I'm pretty sure. See, when VAR came out and you did a bit of the voiceover things that was going around the stadiums, I'm pretty certain that fans went, VAR, it's going to be easy, and not really took in a lot of it. I'm sure there's, well, I'm pretty certain now there is managers, it's the same. Stuart Keltwell being one of them.
That goes back to what I said though. I think, you know, just an element of certain things, Gordon, because we must keep debating decisions as this show. There's, you know, it's built on that stuff. It's fine, but if we're going to debate how straight a line is, when actually there needs to be an acknowledgement that your eye isn't as good as the technology. So on that one, let's save our, I'm not saying we don't debate, we save our energy for the better debates and the ones that we can really argue
and
the, like the violent conducts and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I was quite enjoying that debate there. But the good thing about it is, the offside, I think we've got to say, they're getting that correct. Of course they are. The one thing I like about the Motherwell manager is he's come out there and very easy to sort of not highlight that, Gordon, and say, I'll put my hand up, I got it wrong the day, I've looked at it, yes, I understand the rules now. That would have been quite easy for Stuart Kettleway to just shy away from, because nobody would have questioned it again. It was, you know, in the past. He's looking forward to the weekend, but I like the fact that he's come out there.
I've been asked about it, obviously.
Yeah, but I think he's addressed it in the right way, and I don't think the mistakes will be made again, because we do. There's plenty to argue about on the other side of it, handballs and, you know, before the situation arised, was it a free kick? Was it not? Was it a booking? Whatever it may be. But the offside is correct.
I wonder if other managers have taken this break to do similar.
100%.
And taking the time to sit down and maybe get a better understanding. Look, it's easy to see how managers get caught up in the 90 minutes and then they come off and they look at things and say, how could the referee get that wrong? And we're the same. We're going out. But for Crawford Allen to sit down and explain certain things, I think that goes a long way to then making the whole process better and making managers maybe post-match interviews sometimes a wee bit softer if they can see
just
a different side.
VAR's got loads of flaws, loads and loads of them, and refereeing standards are not where they should be. I think everyone probably in agreement there. So it feels like if we sort of channel our energy at the right bits of the debate, yeah, I think that's all.
Leave
I'm
the bits
to,
that are working.
Yeah.
Because offside works, right? I think a referee's come in for enough criticism. Not what somebody's come on here and went, well, well done to the officials at Fir Park. They've called that correct because that is the correct decision. Because they come in for a lot
everyone's
of...
Everyone's just decided the lines were squinting correct. And it's some sort of big drama. Yeah.
But I think you make a great point. Let's concentrate in making the things that are far worse better than the things that are correct, because there's no point in debating that.
See how you're doing in this teaser. You might need a VAR check on some of these answers.
I've got a couple.
We're looking for, is it 9 players who used to play for Rangers who've scored in the English Championship this season? You've got Waghorn and Diallo.
Right, I'm going to throw in one. I might be right out here. Is Clint Hill still playing with QPR?
No.
What?
I mean, honestly.
Rob Kiernan? No.
Barkley, was it Swansea? Was it the fullback?
You do remember how old Clint Hill was when he came
Clint
up
Hill
here.
Was 35, like 39,
yeah. Looking, Chamaris was
44.
Playing
44.
Right, Chamaris was playing at 7 o'clock. What are you talking about? Is it Barkley?
Kyle Barkley.
Kyle Barkley.
Yeah.
Four.
Was it Swansea? No. West Brom.
West Brom.
Well, good shout that.
Okay.
Kiernan wasn't he one? No.
No. Couple of these are wonderful.
Heineman, Emerson Heineman.
No,
no, run about that.
No. Oh, the rest are tough. There's one more, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, there's one more.
I'm going to go for a centre.
I've got
back.
One. No. Who? Balogun.
Leon Balogun. QPR. Yes.
Yes.
Well done. Right, I'm going to need one more, I think, before the break, no? Nah, no. I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the rest next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL have spent the break shouting random championship players' names at me, which means it's the full time teaser. And the aim of that game, just in case you've never heard it, I'm sure many of you have, is you send the questions, they try and answer those questions. Always good fun towards the end of a show. Stephen sent this one in asking for the 9 former Rangers players who've scored in the English Championship this season. You've got Balogun, QPR, Waghorn at Huddersfield, Diallo, Sunderland, and Bartley, West Brom.
I've got two more.
But I'll decide if you've got two.
Oh no, I've got two more. I can give you the teams they scored against. One is Greg Docherty for Hull against Stoke in the 17th minute, the away end.
Greg Docherty is correct.
At
I don't know about the rest
Britannia
of
Britannia Stadium. And the other one, I don't know the time of the goal. Matt Crooks at Middlesbrough.
Somebody's texting him these every
hold
week.
On. Ah, come on.
Hold on.
Hold on, hold on.
Matt Crooks.
I am sitting here and right. My phone's sitting there.
When did he play for Rangers?
Played midfield with Rangers under Wycorn. No, Wycorn. Wobburn.
Okay. Yep. I'll go for Bakuna.
Well done.
I got that.
Janino Bakuna at
by myself.
Birmingham.
Any phone help?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What's that? 7? Is it?
Yes. 2 to get.
Tough. These two are tough.
What, tougher than Matt Crooks?
I would
because
say
because if we got Matt Crooks,
I would honestly say one of them is tougher than Matt Crooks.
There must be a Swansea player in there.
Why?
Cause,
why
cause
must there be a
that's
Swansea
what the text
player?
Because that's what, yeah, that's what my informant told me.
A Swansea player? Why?
Must be.
No, no, there's not. Anyway, we'll get back to it before
must
the end of the show. I think David and Cumbernauld was wanting to discuss VAR and all the fun of the fair, but I don't think he's. I think he's. We've lost him, David. If you're out there, you can give us a call back. Please do. Just, I can't imagine it will be a hassle-free weekend on that front because it never is. Did you see, was it South Korea? What did I read? I think it was the South Korea game. I'm not sure if it was the goal actually that O scored. Have you seen it?
Seen
it was a terrific
aye,
goal
good
that
finish.
Was ruled out for offside. I'm not entirely sure if it was that goal or something else, but there was a 6 minute offside VAR check for one of the goals. Wow. Get ruled out. And it's like, this is just, well, this is world football's doing to itself. It doesn't really help us. We still get raging at the weekend because you focus on your own your own priorities. But I don't know, does it give you a crumb of comfort to know that it's as mad everywhere else? Not really.
Not really.
Are
no.
you are we you still think, liking it? Is that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. People will say, is it worth it? But I guess if it's getting to the right decisions, then
kind of even 6 minute VAR checks.
It's not getting to every right decision, is it?
No, every right decision, but the majority.
I've lost.
Right.
I've lost a love for it. I've got.
Have
to
you?
Say, yeah.
I
yeah.
still think it gets I've the majority right, even though some big decisions are baffling. I still think they get the majority right, and one of those decisions might just be enough to keep a manager his job or win a team a league that they deserve to win it because of a decision. So I'm still for it. I'm sticking with it.
Here is your perfect transition from international football back to domestic football, because this will be going through the minds of a lot of managers. Stuart Kettlewell also spoke today not only about VAR but about Liam Kelly, and hopes that he's even had a lift just from being there and being part of Scotland's wins over the last couple of days. And Malky Mackay was actually the man that gave Callum McGregor his international debut. You remember the one game that Malky Mackay managed against the Netherlands at Pittodrie? That was Callum McGregor's international debut. It
and
was.
He's amassed 50 caps.
Yeah, it was a bit later. He was kind of fairly into his 20s, I think, by the time he got that call up. And of course, he's sort of hoping that Ross County can now get a shock result, if you like, and not worry about reputations, all this sort of stuff that Scotland over came against Spain on Tuesday. Malky Mackay is hoping to do it on Sunday, it is, isn't it, when Celtic go up there.
It's difficult every time that we play against a team in the Premier League, but when you know we're playing against the champions, Angie's team have been fantastic, and he's been a great addition to Scottish football himself. But we know the task ahead. We know how difficult that is. We're playing against top team in the country, but we've got to make sure that we go there with real belief, like I do when I set them out every Saturday. You know, I thought we did okay at Parkhead a couple of months ago, but we've got to make sure that we have that confidence when we go out. Otherwise, when you go out against Old Firm, if you don't have that, you're beaten before you start. You look at the badge and you can't worry about the badge. You've got to go and play against the players. Undoubtedly, they're a good team, and at 60, 70 minutes when they bring on the cavalry, they're just as good, and that's again the measure of that team. But we've got to make sure that we get here and make it difficult. We're up at our stadium, the pitch is good, and we've got to make sure that on Sunday, live on TV, we give a good account of ourselves.
Good weekend to get us back into it, Gordon. Yeah. First against 11th, or 11th against first on Sunday, and second against 12th. So both ends of the table, you're looking at either predictable or complete shock results?
I'd probably go down the road of predictable. We know there's shock results round the corner, Gordon, but I just think on the Saturday, Rangers taking care of Dundee United, who are really struggling. They need some points. Then you look at the Sunday, you're talking about the big two, Celtic going to Ross County, I think, which is music to Ange Postecoglou and the Celtic players' ears, is the pitch is very good because they play very attractive football. If I was Malky, I'd be asking the groundsman at Hampden the secret of long grass and plenty of water. And then you look
it's
at...
called rain.
Yeah, well, plenty of water. You've got sprinklers. And then you've got a lot of interesting game. Killy down at the bottom, struggling as well. They're at home. Can they beat out of form, would you say, Hearts side just now? And then obviously you've got Hibs and Motherwell. A lot of good games in there. St Mirren, Livingston. So I'm looking forward to St Johnstone, Aberdeen. I missed them, so I'll give them a shout out.
I must admit, I didn't realise we were out of time already. But for the answers to this teaser, so we're looking for two more former Rangers players who've scored in the English Championship this season. You've given me Balogun, Waghorn, Diallo, Bartley, Docherty, Crooks and Bakuna.
I'm sticking down that road there of the Cardiff Swansea. So you've said no to Swansea, I'm going Cardiff.
Right, okay.
But I don't know who it is.
I said a Cardiff player.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all I'm giving you.
There is a Cardiff player.
I told you, I don't know who it is.
It was a Steven Gerrard loan signing
from
Liverpool. I think he scored a really important goal in Europe, if memory serves.
Ojo.
Shea Ojo, well done. And the last remaining one
from, come on, hurry up,
Rotherham.
Rotherham?
So this is tough.
And he played with Rangers under who?
He was one of the Newcastle five.
Oh,
Vukic.
Nope.
Oh, no.
But did play in those playoff games against Motherwell. I think you should remember them.
Oh,
at least
no,
one of them.
I can't remember the boy's name. There were, oh, God, there were two.
Midfielder.
That was okay.
Yeah, you know, left sided, fullback slash winger, bit of both wing back type.
Oh,
utility,
no.
Man. Shane Ferguson.
Nah,
never
nah.
In a million years.
Thank you to the guys. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow with Hugh and Kenny. And Callum Gallagher is up next.